What's up? What the fuck? Hold on. Plot keywords. Knife fight, which threw me off. And then I went further. Prosthetic penis. Those are the plot keywords. Prosthetic penis. I can't even... I've seen the movie 1,000 times. I don't know where a prosthetic penis is. I know my prosthetic penis.
Is it in the knife fight?
God damn it. Now I'm just thinking about prosthetic penis. What's up? This is Movies On Up. One of the guys, one of the spies. I'm Dave, joined by the other guy to my one guy, Mr. Ryan.
I spy the other guy.
Yes, Dave. I do too. We are Movies On Up. The tagline for this week is from the movie Spy. It is one of the guys, one of the spies. If you know what that movie's from, which is Spy, has prosthetic penis in it.
On the camera, the guy's got a picture of a dick.
That's it. That's the only time. Yes. Okay. Tagline
for
this week.
Solved.
One of the guys, one of the spies. Hit us up. Let us know it's Spy or Ghost Dad at Movies On Up.
Or prosthetic penis.
At Movies On Up on the Twitter.com, Facebook.com/Movies On Up, or moviesonup@gmail.com. This episode is off to a roaring start.
This dick has just got its claws in you.
I see prosthetic penis and my brain just stops, and that's all I can think about. The Great Wall, starring Matt Damon, opens this week. He's an American starring amongst a foreign cast. So Ryan got to thinking, hey, I'll do whatever you say. And I thought, hey, let's do American abroad action movies, which I hope conveyed the thought that an action movie that takes place outside of the U.S.
Right.
Starring an American.
Well, I thought.
An American character.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I thought that was pretty self-explanatory.
Okay.
So I didn't have any problem trying to deduce what type of movies you wanted on here.
This was a tough list, I believe, because you can't just look up like, oh, hey, what are some American abroad action movies?
That's not a thing.
I had like 3 or 4 that came to mind. One was just my number one a couple weeks ago. It was Spy, which is the tagline for this week. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to mention it again. There were 2 or 3 from like my childhood that came to mind. And then I'm thinking, like, okay, spy movies, maybe Mistaken Identity. So I'm researching that
Or any war movie outside of the Civil War.
That's true. Yes. If you want to get lazy.
Or correct.
Yeah. But, I mean, I said abroad, and I end up going to Mexico for my number 4. So, I mean, I...
Oh, did that make it on there?
Sicario didn't.
In a week?
It's a different
okay.
Mexico. It's a different Mexico. Oh, because God. I didn't think of Sicario until last week, and in the week since then, I haven't adjusted my list.
Fair
but
enough.
I'll make it an
Why
also
would you?
Ran.
Do we need to at this point? Because we mentioned it for 2 consecutive weeks.
Yes. Because I'm also going to mention Spy when it comes to also Rans 2,
okay.
which is the tagline for
it
this
is,
week.
It is.
But enough about that.
And prosthetic penises.
Yes. Ryan, let's get the prosthetic penis of this list out. Whip it out and start it. Your number 5 favorite American abroad action movie.
My number 5 gets bonus badass points for an uncredited member of this badass squad who shows up later on my list. There was a time... 1986 was that time, long before the jokes, Chuck Norris was a legit action star. And he was an action star opposite Lee Marvin and Martin Balsam in the Delta Force. Now, you have Chuck Norris, who is legitimately a world-class martial artist, and that's bad enough, capable of really wrecking somebody's day. But then you have one that's totally okay with using guns, and guns on a motorcycle, that's an entirely different story and a recipe for awesomeness. Norris and Lee Marvin are dispatched to take back a hijacked plane from, and this is the part that's hard to follow, a pro-Iranian group of Lebanese terrorists. And of course, the Chuckster has a hand-to-hand face-off with one of the lead terrorists, which adds to the badassery street cred. He's not just shooting dudes. He's kicking dudes' asses and breaking dudes' arms off. And of all the Chuck Norris action movies, and there are a ton, you've got your Missing in Action movies, which is an American abroad running through the jungles. I felt like Delta Force is the one that stands out, like the most action-y of all of the Chuck Norris wrecking fools outside of the continental United States.
As soon as you said Chuck Norris, I thought Delta Force.
Absolutely.
Completely forgot about Missing in Action, which was a whole different franchise. Yes, both of them went at least three or four movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think when I think Chuck Norris as a movie star, Delta Force is where I go. My number five, I go the spy route. They're two CIA employees who aren't really spies, but they're led to believe they are, and then dropped into Pakistan as a decoy in a nuclear war. Directed by John Landis from 1985, it is Spies Like Us, starring Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. Six-year-old me loved this movie. Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd. This was
I think 32-year-old me likes this movie.
Oh, I still love this movie. I'm just saying I loved it then, and I've loved it since then. So I love this movie. I love movie star Chevy Chase. As terrible of a person as he is, I love Chevy Chase in movies. This is peak Chevy Chase. This is peak Dan Aykroyd. Two of the greatest comedic actors of the 80s and of all time, probably, together. John Landis, one of the best comedic directors of all time. All that works together. It's a silly story. It's ridiculous. It's funny. There's action. It's about nuclear war, so I guess I picked a war movie as well. And
you
it's
did.
A spy movie. And last I checked, Pakistan, not on this continent. So
it isn't.
It counts.
Geography is not your strong suit.
It is not.
But Pakistan,
as we'll see with my number four,
is overseas. Oh, Jesus. My number four. There were a lot of movies in the 80s. That's kind of where my mind just went, where American action dudes were kicking ass and wreaking havoc all across the world because, quite frankly, they had it coming. When I started thinking, the second and third Rambo movie fit that bill perfectly. And I was very close to putting First Blood Part 2 on the list as Rambo faces his demons back in the jungles of Vietnam. But then I remembered
that Rambo.
2008's Rambo exists. Directed by Rambo, starring Rambo, Julie Benz, and Matthew Marsden. Yes.
Oh, man.
While not as successful on any front in breathing new life into an aging franchise as Rocky Balboa, I do think that Stallone did a pretty good job of bringing us an older, wiser, more violent Rambo. He's certainly not mellowed in his age at all. He's tasked with not rescuing military personnel this time, rather missionaries kidnapped by some Burmese soldiers.
It's a more personal.
Yeah, I guess. Like, he just at some point got tired of rescuing Colonel Troutman, and now
he got too old for the shit.
He got too old for it, and you know, if I'm gonna risk life and limb trying to get somebody out of a sticky situation, it may as well be Julie Benz. She looks a little nicer than Colonel Troutman. This movie is almost over the top graphic. At one point, Rambo rips a man's throat out with his bare hands. It's kind of cartoonish.
He shoots a guy in the driver's seat of a Jeep with the turret in the back of that Jeep.
Yeah. At one point, he goes full on Legolas on like an entire division of the Burmese army. They've got no answer for John Rambo at all. Even at the beginning, when they show what I believe is actual real footage of these atrocities being committed in the country, it really sets the tone for what you're going to see throughout the rest of the movie. Rambo shows that he doesn't need guns to take on an army, much like the first movie, where he's not taking on an army, it's a sheriff and his squad of goons. But by the end of it, what I really do like about this movie, all kidding aside, is it actually goes somewhere with his character. In the movie, he mentions that he hasn't been back to the U.S. essentially since the end of the Vietnam War, really since he got jailed at the end of the first one. So he's been globetrotting for 30 years. But he kind of seems like he makes his peace with himself, and he goes back to Arizona, goes back to the Rambo farm, and he kind of walks off into the sunset.
I think Rambo did what Die Hard 4 wanted to do, where your first three Die Hards were these. The third one got a little ridiculous, but
yeah,
for the most part, they're grounded action movies built around John McClane. And then the fourth one, it came later and it tried to modify itself to the current action movies, which ups the ridiculousness. But it lost everything that made 1 and 3 so great. It's completely not grounded. It's updated. 4 and 5, which 5 could have been on the list.
Yeah.
It takes place in Russia with
it does.
Jai Courtney.
That's what keeps it off the list.
A lot more than that keeps it off the list. But it didn't do anything with John McClane. It just took John McClane and put him in current action movies. They don't feel like diehard movies. Whereas Rambo takes John Rambo, where the first 3, somewhat grounded, but they're still a little bit ridiculous. Not as grounded as Die Hard.
Grounded.
Yeah.
From then on out, of course, Rambo is just basically going to be able to take out an entire...
But they
beat up a tank by
they
himself.
They up the ante in Rambo. But still make it John Rambo's character to where there is something. So I feel like it did that a lot better than Die Hard did in its second wave of life, which is depressing because I love
Die Hard more than Rambo.
One of my favorite movies ever. My 4, directed by one of the greatest comedic directors of all time, John Landis, who also directed my 5, starring 2 of the greatest comedic actors of all time and Martin Short, Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, traveling all the way across the sea back to Mexico in 1986's 3 Amigos. I was having trouble coming up with 5 and leaving Spy off. So 3 Amigos came to me when I started thinking of Mistaken Identity because Galaxy Quest couldn't count. That's a little too far overseas. I love 3 Amigos. It's these guys are actors that are stars of the show. And they end up in a Mexican town that believes they are these characters. So action ensues. And as much as I love Chevy Chase in the 80s as a comedy movie star, I adore Steve Martin in the 80s as a comedy movie star. And to have these two together, again, under John Landis, one of the greatest comedy directors, especially of the 80s, it all works together so well. It's such a funny movie. I'm not the biggest Martin Short fan.
Right.
He is a comedy legend for good reason, though. He just was never for me. But alongside these two guys, it works.
He's a different color than they are.
Yeah.
You know, completely different palette, which works because you get 3 kind of different styles of comedy.
Yeah, and they all blend together.
It works, I think, as a great spoof of, like, the Magnificent Seven, which is something that there's been a lot of versions. Even Magnificent Seven is a version of Seven Samurai. So to be able to spoof that entire genre with these 3 guys, I thought was really, really good. When you mentioned Mexico, that's the first thing I thought of is, oh, well, I think we're going to go 3 Amigos, which is fine.
It would have been Sicario had I thought about it, but that's in my also rant.
I think that just shows like where your head went and where mine went.
Oh, yeah. My 2 and 3 were like the first ones that came to mind. So there I had to expand from there. And that led me to Spies Like Us and 3 Amigos.
I did not go the comedy route. That's not necessarily true. My 1 has a couple laughs in it, but I wouldn't call it a comedy. I would not call my 3 a comedy, but it was one of the first ones that came to mind just because of how on the nose it is. It is Anton Corbijn's 2010 The American, starring George Clooney, Volante Palacio, and Paolo Bonazzelli. Not that I'm clamoring for an American James Bond. I think that the Brits have done a magnificent job with that character, and there's probably a couple folks over there, maybe Idris Elba, that would be a fantastic next Bond if Daniel Craig decides to walk away. But if for whatever reason we decided that we wanted to have an American Bond or we needed to have one, I think Clooney would probably be a magnificent choice for that. I get the impression that of anyone, British folk included, walking the planet, he lives the life closest to James Bond. The way he dresses, he's seemingly always got a drink in his hand. He's the coolest dude ever. And that just seems Bond to me. And in this movie, most of that is on display here. You see that he can handle a gun. While he's not a spy, he's an assassin. The newer Bonds, hell, he's not far.
Craig is more of an assassin.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not that far of a stretch. And like Bond, his character in The American is not afraid to shoot a bitch. You have this story about an assassin who's trying to quit the game. But oddly enough, he spends like the rest of the movie basically being the target of assassination attempts. Actually, the entire movie, even before he quits, he's the target of assassination attempts. So, I mean, what kind of poor assassin, I guess, are you that you're the one that's always kind of in the crosshairs, so to speak. And these attempts, obviously, varying degrees of success, shall we say. While I guess the movie may be somewhat predictable, I think Clooney's such a likable dude that even when he's not the best guy, you still want everything to work out for him. A bit like we talked about De Niro in Heat. He's not a good guy. In The American, Clooney's not a good dude. And he does some things that you're like, shit, I guess I understand the need for self-preservation, but man, that was cold-blooded. Because he's Clooney. You still like him, and you still want everything to work out for him. And this was one that, it was right around that like Michael Clayton phase where I was just like, Clooney's just, I mean, I still think he's like he's the coolest dude in the world. Yeah. Like, he's just awesome. Whatever he does, I could totally see him doing that. The American's probably the closest we're going to get to George Clooney as James Bond, and I'm cool with it because it was solid, solid movie.
My number three is not directed by Jonathan Landis. it's one of the first two that came to mind. My two and three are very, very similar movies. For my number three, it's similar to the Lego movie that we talked about last week, where when I was a kid, you know, there was laser tag, and then there was a brand of paintball, and I knew there was a movie that was named after the brand of paintball called Gotcha in 1985, starring Anthony Edwards and Linda Fiorentino. And I thought, how do you make a movie about paintball? Well, you have Anthony Edwards be a really good paintball player who goes on vacation to Europe, meets hot-ass Linda Fiorentino, and then is mistaken by German spies as a spy. So it's your mistaken identity.
Your classic case of paintballer mistaken for a spy.
Virgin paintballer mistaken for a spy who ends up with hot-ass Linda Fiorentino. Like 80s Linda Fiorentino, which is even hotter ass. But I don't know why this movie jumped out to me right away.
I don't either. But I find it fascinating.
This and my number two were the first two movies that came to mind.
Of course.
And when I first thought of them, it's like, oh, I've never talked about these movies. But it's not like our Rappers episode where I got to talk about House Party 1 and 2 with this exuberant joy because, like, I love these movies and I haven't got a chance to talk. Or Backdraft, I haven't talked about them yet. I'd be all right not talking about Gotcha. But it fits the bill. It is a movie.
It's a movie?
It's a movie about an American overseas. It's actually decent for like a mid-80s action movie. Anthony Edwards is competent in it. Linda Fiorentino is awesome. It's a quality story. It's better than my number two, but my number two is a little bit more memorable. So that's where those
I would
fall.
Imagine.
Yeah. But yeah, Gotcha. I don't know why this movie's just always stuck out in my head. And I have no clue why.
Outstanding.
Because I'm talking like I was 6 or 7 when I saw this for the first time. And it's just, it's stuck with me since. It's like the Ice Pirate of paintball movies.
I've heard it referred to that often. The Ice Pirate.
I think it was on the poster.
Yeah, it was a tagline for that movie. So if we ever do that for a contest. My number two. Stars a man with a particular set of skills. Skills he has acquired over a very long career, going as far back as being a member of Chuck Norris's Delta Force. And that would, of course, be Liam Neeson from Pierre Morel's 2008 Taken, also starring The Taken, Maggie Grace, and Famke Janssen. This one kind of tripped me up here a little bit, because Liam Neeson, I don't know if you guys know this, not an American. But Brian Mills, ex-CIA agent, is an American. So I thought, this is not Liam Neeson going overseas kicking people's asses.
I had this exact same debate because Taken was on my radar, but I was like, yeah, the accent throws me off.
Do I buy Liam Neeson as an American? Absolutely not. Will I accept him as an American because of how badass he is? Absolutely. And what's weird is like Liam Neeson had shown up in action movies prior to Taken. Classics such as Crawl, The Deadpool with Eastwood, and even Darkman. But I don't think it was until Taken that we really were fully introduced to the one-man Albanian terror train that is Liam Neeson. And we were able to see this like final form of badassery from Qui-Gon Jinn. He's unstoppable almost to the point of a horror movie killer. He just keeps on coming. And like Jason Voorhees, he does some sick things to these dudes that he ends up catching and inflicts medieval level retribution on these guys that kidnapped his daughter. Couple that with what I love the most about the movie is the matter of fact threats that he makes and then carries out to the kidnappers makes this dude just absolutely terrifying. He'll tell you something and he backs that shit up. Every time he offs somebody, it's like a mic drop. Fantastic movie.
I'm so conflicted about this movie. Like I said, it was on my radar. I don't love this movie. I think it's a competent action movie. I love that it was the turning point in Liam Neeson's career. This is right after his wife passed away, yeah. Where this is where his career went. It was to this Liam Neeson. And I love this Liam Neeson. I don't think this movie warranted two sequels in a, TV show.
No.
But taken as a single entity, I think is competent.
That character is great.
Yes.
The rest of the movie.
The plot.
Whatever.
Everything just seems.
It's a vehicle to see Liam Neeson shove metal rods in a guy's leg.
It's Liam Wick, pretty much.
Yes.
But I don't think it's as entertaining as John Wick.
You should go back and watch it again.
Maybe. But my number two, the first movie, other than Gotcha, that came to mind, very, very similar plot, minus the paintball. It is about an American high school student traveling to France who just happens to have the same name as an American spy that was recently killed, and then they see, oh, the spy is on this plane to France. British intelligence wants to pick him up and give him all these toys, and the bad guys that killed him already want to kill him again. One of my favorite shows as a kid was 21 Jump Street, starring Johnny Depp, and it was a bad season where Richard Grieco jumped on and then got his own spinoff because him and Depp did not coexist very well. But in that time frame, Richard Grieco got a starring role in If Looks Could Kill from 1991. It's the same movie as Gotcha, pretty much. Just, it's more ridiculous. It's more comedic, whereas Gotcha was more of a thriller. If Looks Could Kill is like the action comedy version of it. Richard Grieco had something about him. He wasn't a great actor.
He had some fantastic hair.
Had amazing hair. He didn't work on Jump Street because Johnny Depp was so good and that show was so dark and serious at times. And Richard Grieco just had this, hey, look at me type thing that didn't work on Jump Street. Booker was a lot lighter than 21 Jump Street. So his spinoff wasn't as good, but it fit him. This essentially should have just been the Booker movie. Because it was light. It was what Richard Grieco did well. He did have this charm, this charisma, this comedic timing to him. It was fun to have this just stupid high school kid thrown into this James Bond type role. I still remember some of the villain deaths in like 80s and 90s movies where you're fighting the Soviets or the Germans or something. The deaths had to be cool. And getting crushed by gold falling out of a helicopter is still memorable to me. It's a stupid, stupid, terrible movie. Not even as good as Gotcha. If they're both on at the same time and I have to watch one, I'm probably going to bed, but if I had to, I'll watch If Looks Could Kill.
I want to know what madman is programming your cable where Gotcha and If Looks to Kill are on at the same
only
time.
Two movies on.
Some hipster has gotten control of HBO, that's
they
for gotcha. Sure.
Gotcha.
My number one is the first movie that I thought of, and it's also the best. When it comes to Americans abroad in general, there are very few Americans that travel the globe as well as Dr. Indiana Jones, and I have on many occasions said how much I love Raiders of the Lost Ark from 1981, directed by Steven Spielberg, also starring Karen Allen and Paul Freeman, so it makes sense that globe-trotting ass-kickers, of course, for me, it was always going to be Indy. For the most part, my other movies all involve an American, or at least in Liam Neeson's case, a guy playing an American, heading to a foreign country to kick some ass, and they're usually confined to one particular foreign country. Dr. Jones makes a habit of kicking ass across continents. I guess he would be like the intercontinental champion of ass kicking. It's a great mix of humor and adventure. And I think the last time I talked about this movie, I said how the first 10 minutes or so in this movie is one of the best examples you'll find of introducing your main character, getting to know little nuances about the character. The hat you get in the first 10 minutes, and that's something that rides with you really for the next 25 years. You could just watch the first 10 minutes of Raiders and then pop yourself in any Indiana Jones sequel, and I don't think you're going to be lost. You're going to know that, you know, he's an adventurer. You're going to get the physicality to it. You'll get kind of that Harrison Ford 80s swagger that I think if you could bottle it and sell it, I would certainly purchase it on Amazon myself. I think it's a great character. It's a great movie, a great adventure movie. Much like you were enjoying Gotcha as a child, I was enjoying Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I think we were probably enjoying them just as much.
They both hold up.
Right. In the pantheon of great American globetrotting
action
films. Once
they went into Aliens
films.
And Gotcha 4, though, I lost
I know what you mean, because there's no way that you could survive a paintball tournament inside of a refrigerator. That's just crazy. But, yeah, Raiders is the first thing that came to mind. I think it's like an obvious choice, but I don't care, because I think it's that damn good.
Indiana Jones came to mind. I could have done three of those, and I almost did because I was struggling thinking of them. But then I thought, nah, I'm sure Ryan will have at least one of them, so I'll go with the.
I gotcha.
I'll go with the original Indiana Jones, the man who was originally offered the part, Tom Selleck, who went on to play the legendary character Quigley. And in this version, where's Quigley go?
Down under.
Quigley goes down under.
Yes.
In 1990, directed by Simon Winsor, who did Lonesome Dove, Tom Selleck plays Quigley, a sharpshooter from Wyoming, who's hired by an Australian to shoot aboriginals from a distance. Tom Selleck, or Quigley, isn't digging that part, so he saves Laura Sanjiacomo, works with the aborigines, and kills all the bad guys, including a young Ben Mendelsohn. It's a silly movie. I like Tom Selleck. I liked Magnum P.I. growing up. He didn't have the movie career that was great other than Runaway.
Yeah.
I do love Runaway, though. I'll stand by that movie. But I always loved Quigley Down Under because the title is the stupidest thing ever. You hear it, and it's like, do I know Quigley? Like, it's not like Shaft goes to Africa. Like, yeah, I know Shaft, and Shaft had a big score. And
Ernest
Shaft goes
to Africa.
Yes,
I understand.
Quigley, who is Quigley? Why is
Quigley a person?
Like, is he going? Why is he going?
Is
down
Quigley
under?
A place?
Was Quigley somewhere else first? So I love the.
Is that something someone's gonna do to somebody down under?
Is Quigley down under, and then Quigley back home again, or Quigley goes to prison, or Quigley saves Christmas? Like, I don't understand what's going on here. Boo! A Quigley Halloween. I love the title of this movie. I like Tom Selleck. It's a fun Western. I like Australian stuff.
Yes,
really
you do.
Like no Australian people in this movie, though. Alan Rickman is the bad guy. Laura
Sanjiacomo
is the girl. And like I said, a young Ben Mendelsohn. I don't know why I had to go with this movie, though, because he's an American and he's down under. So that was my number one.
What are your also-rans? Movies that didn't quite beat out Quigley Down Under and If Looks Could Kill.
Spy, which was the tagline for this
week.
Pretty
good one.
Only because it was my number one a couple weeks ago. Sicario, just because you just mentioned that to me. At a time, I had Snatch on here because of Farina, just because Dennis Farina
all
cries
right.
over. That's when I couldn't think of anything. That's when my list was If Looks Could Kill and Gotcha, and I
and
needed a number three. So Snatch came to mind just because I was going to cheat and say Farina. And Safe House with Ryan Reynolds Denzel. I believe that's South Africa. They're not in the States, so that was almost there. But then I came up with the John Landis duo.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any also-rans?
No, I think my also-rans, just in the way that my list came about, okay, Chuck Norris, he's a badass. So I picked Delta Force, and Missing in Action would have been an also-ran because it was the one that I didn't pick. And then of the Rambo movies, there's two also-rans there because I went with the most recent. Taken 2 and 3, I guess, Indiana Jones 2 through 4. There is not a sequel to The American because he dies at the end, spoiler alert. But I guess there could be a prequel, The American Down Under. The early years. I don't know.
That's our Americans Abroad.
America.
Next week is our Oscar preview, I believe.
It sounds right.
The Oscars are coming up. I don't think we do one every year, but we're gonna go through doing a pick 'em just for pure ego reasons. Because who knows if we'll even tally them up and decide.
Oh,
who
I
wins.
Mean, just fill in La La Land for everything and call it a day because that movie's all time one of the greatest movies you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Moonlight or Hidden Figures. I think Moonlight's going to win a lot, but we'll talk about that next week. And then after that, we're going to watch X-Men the following week, the original Bryan Singer X-Men, to celebrate Logan coming out. So the first Wolverine appearance and the air quotes
last. The last that doesn't involve Deadpool.
But yeah, that's next week. So thanks for listening. Email us Spy or let us know on Twitter so you can win the prize package.
Which is a prosthetic
penis. Let's put the prosthetic penises away. And until next week.
Keep it up.